Hallelujah.
bless the Lord.
Bless the name of Jesus.
We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. We bless the name of Jesus,
Hallelujah.
saints.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We bless the name of Jesus.
Oh God, thank you,
Glory to
the
God.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise
Oh,
the
glory
name
to
of
God. Good evening,
Jesus.
everyone.
Good
Good
evening,
evening,
Elder.
God
Bless
bless
you, Elder. Praise
you.
God.
Hallelujah. God is indeed a good God. Sister Camille,
Amen.
I'm just going to ask you just to play back even the chorus from that song for us.
Amen.
At least.
Amen. Amen. Let me just. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise
Hallelujah.
the Lord.
Bless the name of
Praise
Jesus.
the Lord. Did
Oh
someone
God,
say,
hallelujah.
you will always find me at the feet of Jesus in communion, heart to heart, and face to face. You will always find me at the feet of Jesus from morning's wake until I end my day. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
And collectively, he has allowed us, he has given us this opportunity that we can collectively go to bend down at his feet. And so we bless him for this opportunity. The chorus said, breathing new life into my bones, purpose for worship. So this will be my anthem song. Hallelujah. And so tonight we bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As a
Hallelujah.
ministry, mighty God, we can come together to worship the Lord, to bow at his footstool, and to give him praise. Tonight
Amen.
is Bible study night, and we bless the Lord for his word. We ask the Lord to empty us, my God,
Yes.
and to allow our focus and our gaze to be penetrated on him as we ask him to lead us into tonight's worship. So to take us into a time of devotion now is Sister Shernet. God bless you, woman of God, as you lead us into a time of devotion.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Good night, everyone.
Good
Good
night,
night,
Sister
Sister
Shernet. Bless
Shernet.
the Lord.
Good night.
Good
Let
night.
me greet you all. I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. Please forgive me for not turning on, sorry, my camera. I think I'm coming down with, I don't know if it's a flu or something, but I've not been well since today, but I'm here and I'm giving God thanks. You
Amen.
know, I'm glad that I can still do my part for him. You
Amen.
know, and when we stop and we sorry, realize what is happening around in our environment, we have to stop to give God thanks because he is truly an amazing God. He is
Amen.
a wonderful God. And this evening, I am grateful that I have this opportunity to still talk about this man, Jesus. You know, he
Amen.
was and he still is and he will forever be. So my desire is just to continue to talk about this man, Jesus. And so this evening, as I do the devotion, I'm just here to encourage us, including myself, here to encourage us this evening as we heard that we are still on the Bible topic, end time prophecies. And we realize what is happening in our world, in our country. And so it is for us as children of God to draw closer to God. Sorry. It is for us to draw closer to God. When we stop and we realize the chaos that is happening in the world, I was saying to my sister last night that the only way out in this life is Jesus Christ. The only ticket out of this life is Jesus. And so I am here to encourage us tonight. So I encourage us tonight on my little topic says, watch and be ready. So many things are happening in our world. You know, so many stuff are happening at our doorsteps. And so, as children of God, it is high time for us to draw closer to God, to watch and be ready. And so, when I sit and I look and I realize that the word of God is daily, we see it, it's just fulfilling in our eyes. And so, it is for children of God, Christians, to draw closer to God and to watch and be ready. Let us bless
Amen.
the Lord. Praise his
Amen.
holy name. So before we go any further, I just want to play this little song as we go through as children of God. It may be hard, but he said that he will not give us more than we can bear. And in spite of what is happening, if we just stay true to him and if we draw closer to him, then we know he'll carry us through. Bless the Lord.
In my way, I look to you, precious Lord, linger in you, open my so almost gone. Hear my cry. Hear my call. Hold my hand. Lest I fall. Take my precious Lord. Oh. Oh. I am weak. I'm worn through the storm, through the night. Lead me on to the light. Save my hand. Precious Lord, lead me on.
All right, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. So, in spite of what is happening in the world, what we want as children of God is for God to take our hands and lead us on through this land, through this world that we're living in, for us to draw closer to Him. So on that day, we can see His face. Bless the Lord. My little scripture will be taken from this evening. Then Matthew 25, and it's a well-known scripture coming from verse 1 through to verse 13. So that's in Matthew 25, reading from verse 1 through to verse 13, and it reads, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet their bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for he know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." This is a portion of the word of the Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. I give God thanks this evening for the scripture, reminding us as children of God, let us watch and be ready. Jesus is saying to us as children of God, we need to prepare for his return. We need to be living a life of purpose and of readiness. And if we are going to be ready for his coming, we, as I said before, we need to live with purpose. We need to be following his words, because here in St. Matthew, he tells us about the virgins, the 10 virgins. While some persons in our time now, we are going to church, and we're going to church for years. But you know, my grandmother always said to me, there's no long service award in heaven. So it is whether or not there is oil in our lamps to keep us until the break of day.
Amen.
And so, as children of God, we want to watch and be ready. And in watching, we have to be prayerful, right? We have we, this is our oil in carrying us through this end time, our prayer life. And so, if these 10 virgins had been watching and praying and ensuring that they are in line with God's word, then the door would be shut upon them. And so, today it is for us as children of God, for us to watch and be ready. We can't be
Yes.
going on as children of God depending on others' oil at all times. What about our vessels? We need to ensure that there is oil in our lamps. The songwriter said,
My
"Give me
God.
oil in my lamp, keep it
Keep it
burning until the
burning.
break of day." And so I'm here tonight to encourage us, saints of God, let us watch and be ready. Let us draw close to God. If we are close, let us draw closer to Him. The songwriter said, "The closer I get, the more I
More I
see."
see.
And so this evening, let us continue to follow the word of God. Let us let the scripture guide us. Let it guide our every step. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let it guide our step. Let it guide our choices. And so when the word of God is guiding our choices, guiding our steps, it will draw us close to him. It will draw us closer to be prepared and be ready for his return. We don't want to be among the 5 foolish virgins, right? We want to be among the 5 wise virgins who had oil in their lamps and was watching for the return of the bridegroom. The last scripture said, the last verse said, "Watch therefore, for," sorry, "he know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And this is the part of it that should keep our eyes open as children of God. We don't know when his appearing will be, but as we go through, we want to stay close to him. We want him to hold our hand. We want him to lead us safely on. And so, if we allow God, bless the name of Jesus, if we allow him to lead us, if we allow him to hold our hands, let us thrust our hands in his, because there are times when it feels like we are slipping away. But if we continue to ask him to hold us, if we continue to ask him to draw us closer to him, then he's there for us, ready to hold our hands and to lead us safely on. Let us bless the Lord. Bless the
Hallelujah,
name of
Lord.
Jesus.
Bless the name
And
of
so I pray,
Jesus.
mighty God. And so
Amen.
I encourage us tonight, saints of God, let us be ready. Let us ask him to hold our hands and lead us safely on. Bless the name of
Amen.
Jesus. And as I close off this part, I just want to pray. As the Lord continues to lead, bless the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, as I come before your presence, Almighty God, another time, I want to thank you. I want to bless your name, Mighty God. We exalt you tonight, God, because there's none like unto you, Father, in the name of Jesus. There's none beside thee. And so, God, as I pause at this time, Almighty God, I exalt your name. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I exalt your lordship tonight, Almighty God, thanking you that you are still God. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, and as I come this evening, Almighty God, who am I, oh God, to bow before you? Nothing I bring, God, but simply to your cross I cling this evening, Almighty God.
Hallelujah. Bless the
God,
name of
Almighty,
Jesus.
asking of you,
Thank
Almighty
you,
God, to
God.
wash these old vessels again,
My
Almighty God.
God.
Oh, God, Almighty, asking of you to purge
Hallelujah.
us again, Almighty God. Oh,
Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus, purge us and we shall be clean, God Almighty.
Mighty
And
God.
so, Father, in the name of Jesus, here I am this evening, Almighty God, lifting up, Almighty God, your children unto you, oh God, asking of
My
you to
God.
help us, oh God
In the
Almighty,
name
to
of
be ready,
Jesus.
Almighty God. The songwriter
Help
said,
us,
He will
God.
come. Oh, let us watch and be
Yes,
ready. Oh, He
ready.
will come, God
Hallelujah.
Almighty. But we know
Hallelujah.
not the hour.
Bless the
And
name
so,
of
Almighty God, I
Jesus.
ask of you that you may open up our blinded eyes to see,
My
Almighty God,
God,
what
Jesus.
is happening around us, Almighty God. And it's time for us,
Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to draw a bit
Jesus.
closer to you, God. For too long at times, Almighty God,
Jesus.
we settle on the surface, God Almighty, and there are deeper depths and higher heights to go in you, God. Oh, God
Jesus.
Almighty, I pray
Hallelujah.
this evening, Almighty God,
Hallelujah.
that you
Yes,
may help us
Lord.
not, Almighty God, waste our
Yes, Lord.
time, Father, in the name
My
of
God,
Jesus. Oh,
Jesus.
God Almighty, having no oil in our lamps, Almighty God. Oh,
My
God, but let
God.
us go, God Almighty God, come to you to clean the vessels,
Hallelujah.
Almighty God, so you can pour oil in our vessels, Almighty God, to
In the
keep us until
name of
your return, God.
Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
Jesus.
we pray this
Oh,
evening in
Jesus.
the name of Jesus that you remember,
Hallelujah. Thank you,
oh, God
Christ
Almighty, every
Jesus.
individual this evening, Almighty God. Oh, God
Hallelujah.
Almighty, every individual of prayer portal. Almighty God, oh God,
Hallelujah.
help us, Almighty God, so
Yes,
that we may
Lord. Yes,
remove,
Lord.
Almighty God, whatever distraction are there,
In the
Almighty
name
God.
of
We want
Jesus.
nothing between us, oh God, you
Nothing,
and I.
mighty God.
Oh God
Oh,
Almighty, remove the
Jesus,
scales
Lord.
from our eyes, oh God, so we can
Oh,
see. Oh
Jesus.
God, remove the barriers from our ears so we
In
can hear
Jesus'
again,
name,
God
mighty
Almighty.
God.
I pray in the name of
In the name
Jesus
of
Christ of Nazareth, oh
Jesus.
God, that you may nudge us again, Almighty
Yes,
God,
Lord.
to
Yes,
get prayed again, oh God
Jesus.
Almighty, to draw
Jesus.
closer to you, God.
Hallelujah.
Nudge us again, Almighty God. Awake us in the
Jesus.
spirit, Almighty God.
Hallelujah. In the
Father,
name
in the
of
name of
Jesus.
Jesus, to seek you again so
Hallelujah.
we can get
Jesus.
closer to you. God
Yes.
Almighty, let your will be
Yes,
done this evening,
Lord. In
Almighty God,
the
in the
name of
lives of your people.
Jesus.
God,
Hallelujah.
help us to live as the
Hallelujah,
wise
God.
virgins, Almighty God,
Hallelujah.
ready with our lamps, Almighty
Jesus.
God,
Ready
ready
with
waiting, oh God
Jesus.
Almighty. So in our living,
Mighty
Almighty God,
God.
others will see the light and draw close
Jesus.
to
Yes,
you,
Lord.
God.
In the name of
I pray in the
Hallelujah.
name of Jesus Christ of
In the
Nazareth,
name
as we
of
continue
Jesus.
to live, oh God, we may draw souls unto your kingdom. God
In the
Almighty,
name
help
of
us to stand
Jesus.
as children of God in this end
In the
time.
name of
Oh God, you said
Jesus.
there are few left in Sardis who have not defiled their garments.
Let's go,
God Almighty, and I
Jesus.
pray that you may help us
Hallelujah.
as children of God to be among the few remnants, oh God, who will be
Yeah,
watching
Lord
and ready,
Jesus.
Almighty God, for
Thank you,
your
Jesus.
appearing. God Almighty,
Jesus.
have thine own sweet divine way this evening,
Hallelujah.
Almighty God, we pray. I pray, Almighty God, that you may pull us out,
Hallelujah.
Almighty God, for a slumbering
Hallelujah.
condition, Almighty God.
In the
I
name of
pray in the name
Jesus.
of Jesus that you may wake
Amen.
us up out of sleep
Hallelujah.
and
Yes,
slumber, God,
Lord.
and
In
get
Jesus'
watching and
name.
waiting, Almighty God.
Mighty
Father, in the
God.
name of Jesus, we thank you this evening for the gathering,
Holy
Almighty
Lord,
God.
thank
Bless our
you.
hearts this
Oh, God
evening as we come,
Almighty.
Almighty God, as one, listening for your word again, oh
In the
God, that will
name of
help us to turn
Jesus.
our lives closer to you.
Hallelujah.
God
Holy Lord,
Almighty, let your will
Jesus
be done,
Christ.
Almighty God,
We thank
as
you,
we commit
Holy
every king and
Spirit.
every situation into your hands.
Holy
Oh God, whatever
Spirit,
fail
Holy
of asking, fail
Spirit.
not to grant it this evening, God, as we
Hallelujah,
continue to
Lord.
look to thee by faith and we tell
Hallelujah.
you thanks in
Thank you,
Jesus'
Jesus.
name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the name of
Praise
Jesus.
God.
Oh,
Praise
bless the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Praise
his holy
God.
name, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
God.
Bless the name.
Praise his holy
Hallelujah.
name. Let
Praise
us continue
God.
to
Praise
seek the face
Hallelujah.
of God. We
Hallelujah.
know the God in whom we serve and is here to guide us along this pathway. So let us allow him to hold our hands and lead us safely on. So in this
Amen.
life that we are living, it's all about him. Let us be prepared for his return. Let us stay awake. Let us stay alert and live in the
Hallelujah.
purpose that he has called us.
Oh,
The Lord bless your
thank you,
saints. The
Jesus.
Lord continue to keep you as we continue to pray for one another, because it is a hard road to travel,
Mighty
but
God.
it's a mighty long way to go. But what Jesus, the blessed
Yes.
Savior, is going to carry us along this way. So let us continue to stay
Amen.
true to him, and let us continue to be watchful and be prayerful as the hour draw nigh for his appearing. The Lord
Hallelujah.
bless you all as we continue to keep courage in the Lord. I'll now hand over back to the moderator in care of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you all.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can we worship the Lord sing?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. A little more
Thank you,
oil in my lamp,
Yes.
Lord, burning. A
Thank you,
little more
Jesus.
oil in my lamp, I pray.
Mighty
A little
God.
more oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. Keep it burning till the
Break
break of
of
day.
day. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you
Hallelujah.
so much, Sister Madden, for leading us so ably into this devotion. She says to us, let us watch and be ready.
Ready.
Just maintain our prayer life so we can be ready. Hallelujah. Let us allow the word of God to guide us in preparation for his coming. Because I say to you today, tonight, saints of God, that Jesus is coming soon.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
He's coming.
So let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our spirit. Let us keep a little more oil in the lamp. My God, not to be like the foolish virgins,
Amen.
But to be like the wise. Let us have excess oil, excess praise, excess prayer. Hallelujah. So that
Amen.
We can
Nice to
keep burning till the break of day.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And so we give God thanks once more for this opportunity that we can gather together. You know, I love the gathering of the saints. I anticipate Thursday nights, my
Don't
God.
know.
So I bless
Praise
the Lord
God.
for this opportunity.
Amen.
And so at this time, let me take this opportunity to extend a warm welcome to all who are present on the platform tonight.
Amen.
First of all, let us pause to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit, who
Amen.
Is indeed in our midst tonight to bless us. Saints, let us acknowledge his presence tonight.
Hallelujah.
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 Holy Spirit,
bless your name. We honor you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are in your
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Heal us with your power. Live inside of us.
Hallelujah.
Almighty God, with your presence, saturate it with your anointing. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Tell us that in
yes,
your
Jesus.
Presence there is
nice
fullness
God.
Of
fullness
joy,
of joy.
And at your right hand, so we
Thank
welcome you,
Jesus.
Holy Spirit, in our midst tonight. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let me now acknowledge our leaders, who are all with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Sister Camille, are you here tonight?
Hallelujah. Bless the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Terry, are you with us? Hallelujah.
Praise God.
The name of the Lord is a strong power, and the righteous run in, and they are saved. I am here in Jesus' name.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
How are you, Sister Nadine?
Oh, praise God. I am here and I'm praising him. And I'm enjoying every minute thus far. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Deacon
praise
Scott,
God.
Did I hear you?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me.
Hallelujah.
Bless his holy name.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. And
You know, the fifth leader would be Sister Eulalie. And oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. We have with us tonight, Brother Adrian. Praise the Lord. And we bless the Lord
Hallelujah.
For this opportunity that he has allowed him to be able to grace us with his presence for a second time. Can we praise the Lord?
Bless the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Praise Hallelujah. The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We welcome you, Brother Adrian. Hallelujah. In our midst tonight as he continues his teachings on end time prophecies. My God, and if it's ever a time that we need this teaching, it's now, because signs of the time are everywhere. We, Brother Adrian, our appetites are open as we anticipate a great feasting on the word of God tonight. It is truly a blessing for you to join us tonight, and we bless the Lord. Welcome, welcome. Welcome to all our wonderful members and our faithful adherents. Welcome all. Praise the Lord. We bless the Lord for this opportunity that we can come together as children of God to feast on his word. Praise the Lord. At this time, Brother Adrian will be coming to us. But before the man of God comes, let us all release our mic while we pray on his behalf, while we surrender him to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray.
Amen.
Holy God,
our Father,
we pray and bless your wonderful name. We pray at this time for the privilege to be in your presence. We give you thanks for your word and feast and
In the name of Jesus,
I pray that the Lord will release his anointing upon
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I pray, Holy God, that you will take a live coal from the altar and that you will place on your manservant mouth. God, you will enable him to speak. Thus saith the Lord. Surrender him tonight to you completely in the name of Jesus. As we reverse the enemy surrounding your man servant, God Almighty, surround him with your
yes, God, Jesus,
love and your mercy at this time, even as us, in Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. We bless the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Lord,
over Adrian, praise the Lord.
All right. Thank you so much. Let me turn on back my camera so everybody can see me. It's a pleasure to be here another time. Thank you so much for inviting me back to the platform to finish up the discussion and the teaching around end times. I am grateful to God for giving me the strength. I owe it all to him. And without him, I can do nothing.
Okay.
I want to just say hi to my friends, my sisters that I see on the platform. Sister Eulalie, Sister Camille.
Thanks,
you know, I greet you all so very
Wow,
well,
blessings ahead.
and I have a special place in my heart for one of my sisters here, Sister Nadine. You know,
Praise God. Bless
when
you,
she
Brother
was
Adrian.
near,
Praise
when she was living near to me, I used
the
to go and get my jerk chicken and
Lord.
stuff like that,
Praise God. Bless the Lord.
All right, but tonight, when I was talking with the Lord, and he was just say telling me how what's the next move in terms of end times, I decided to go into the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation is one of those books that really give people of God, the church, so many challenges. Persons look at it with a lot of fear, a lot of trepidation, not understanding it. And it's a very crucial book to, end times and understanding what the plan of God is. And it's a very interesting book in that it, like when you're watching a movie and you have the build up, you have the introduction, you have the build up. And when you get into the last part now, the last part where the movie, you finally get the resolution of what's gonna happen to the star boy, or the star girl. That is what the Book of Revelation is. It is the culmination of God's master plan. It shows how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wins the ultimate victory, how the people who ally themselves with him are overcome through him, how those who are against him, the enemy, the devil, how they are destroyed, how they are dealt with, and how he brings back the entire creation. The world, the earth, the heavens, all things are come back reconciled to him. And it's a glorious book. It's a triumphant book. It's a book that gives me so much, hope. And it makes me so happy because it details our final destination. It details the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It shows him in his power, in his glory, in a way that we had not seen him before in some other books. Yes, he's the suffering servant. Yes, he's the lamb. Yes, he's all of that, but he's also a reigning king, mighty warrior. Mighty in battle, vanquishing the foes with the breath of his mouth. So it's a wonderful thing to talk about. And I'm also going to talk about the false prophet, the beast, and what we call the unholy trinity, the Antichrist. So the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. Generally, we call that the unholy trinity. And we're going to go into, how that unfolds. But as is customary, I like to make sure that we have an understanding of the book and where we are going with this. And so the first few slides, as we talk about eschatology the last time, and basically eschatology, we defined it as how, we looked at the church how we are interpreting things that are happening based on what is in the Bible. We come now to the book of Revelation. And just to give us an intro, and again, if you see me looking this way and looking that way, I just want people to know that I have two screens. So I am, so it's not that I'm distracted. All right. So we want to know who wrote the book. It's good for us to have a little bit of history. So we know that the book was written by the Apostle John. Yes, that's the John from the Bible who was a disciple of Jesus Christ, right? We often hear about John on the Isle of Patmos, where he was put there in exile as a persecution punishment for preaching the word of God, right? And we know that it was written somewhere around AD 90 to 95, right? So we are in the year 2026. So those of us who are good at math, you just minus ni the 90 from the 2026, and you kind of get where this book is coming from. That's why we in church we always talk here about, oh, 2,000 years ago he came 2,000, right? This is what we are talking about. So the book of Revelation, it's a very, very graphic book. It describes the vision of the Apostle John, and so you get a lot of imagery. I know some of us we dream some very interesting dreams sometimes. We get visions, and people in Jamaica says dream no walks straight, and sometimes there are a lot of symbolism and sort of emblems that you get to see. And these things sort of give you the reality of what might be happening in the physical, right? One of the things I love about the book of Revelation is that John is having a conversation either with the Lord Jesus Christ or with an angelic being who is guiding him. And so in his visions, he would ask questions and he would get answers. So it's not like we have to go and guess and spell what we are trying to understand. The book itself interprets the book, right? One of the key things we learn when we're studying the Bible and reading the Bible is that you will often find the answers for questions by looking at other places in the Bible. So the Bible answers and interprets itself, right? And so the book of Revelation, very colorful, and it is one of the first things that I want us to remember. When we read the book of Revelation, it's Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. In the very, very opening salvo of the book, it tells you exactly what it's all about. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus's note, love note. His letter, his revelation to us. This is not, some fantasy. This is Jesus himself literally talking to the church. And, God in his wisdom, in his providence, ensured that the book was strategically placed where it was placed so that we, when we are reading it, we will get that this get who it's from and what it is all about. Okay, so it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? And he gave it to his servant John, right? And it goes through various topics and stuff. It begins with God's letter, Jesus's letter to the seven churches, right? And then it goes on to talk about a series of de devastation poured upon the earth, talks about the mark of the beast, talks about the Armageddon battle. It talks about binding Satan for the 1,000 years and the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And all of this, I'm going to put it nicely together because those who were on the last time will know that Brother Adrian has a I don't know, a slogan. It says, "Be brilliant at the basics," right? So I don't want persons to get intimidated by the word of God, or once you get the core, once you get the foundation, it's easy to build upon that foundation and that solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. So I talked about how the revelation of Jesus Christ ties in what started at the beginning. How the world was perfect, the fall of man, eschatology. This one now seals it up. So, in order to fully understand and get some revelation of the book of Revelation, we must look at the Old Testament, right? Although it's the culmination of the prophecies about the end times, we have to begin with the Old Testament when we're looking at the book of Revelations. And passages like Daniel chapter 9 introduces various stuff like the beasts and the false and the Antichrist. Those type images are further developed when you go into Revelation. And so God unfolds. The revelation is basically the unfolding, the opening, and the final revelation of what God's plan and purpose is, right? So when you look at books like Daniel chapter 7 to 12, Isaiah 24 to 27, Ezekiel 37 to 41, and Zechariah 9 to 14. All of these prophecies are linked and connected to the book of Revelation. So I am just so amazed by God how he takes the foreshadowing and the type shadowing of things and over time just opens it up to us. So when we read the word of God, it just blooms like a rose. Very, very beautiful, very, very important. Now, theologically, I want us to understand as well how people interpret the book of Revelation. People look at it in various different ways. And as I go through these, you might start to get some, ideas clicking in your head, like, I heard that from the Catholic Church, or I heard that from the Reformed Church, or I heard that from the Lutheran Church, because we want to break down and understand how Christendom, the various aspects of Christendom, interpret Revelation. And again, my aim is not to tell you this one is wrong, that one is right, or to get caught up in the flashy details, the Pope and the beast and the Muslim and the Islamic religion is the this and the that. There's enough of that to go around. And I love reading about that and studying that as well. It's very exciting to me. But I want for the body of Christ to be very profitable in the core. Because once you understand what the core and the heart of God is and what he's trying to say, all these other things become, less important, and you get to see more clearly, right? It reminds me of the Elijah. It reminds me of Elijah, how he and we praise Elijah. We look at it so big. Elijah, he called down fire. He made an open show and mockery of the 450 Baal prophets, and how he outran the chariot of Ahab. And when he got to the place, Jezebel sent him a threat, and then he ran, and when after he ran and came back, after he ran and God started to speak to him, it was literally God telling him in some ways, Elijah, yes, there's the earthquake. Yes, there's this roaring fire. Yes, there is all of these things happening, but I was not in it. But then he heard a still small voice. And when he heard that voice, it said he covered his face and he went out to the entrance of the cave, because that was where God was, right? And so a lot of things are going to happen. And as I spoke about last week, Jesus Christ explicitly told his disciples in Matthew 24 and in Luke about the things that would happen. But the first thing he said is that you must be very careful that you are not deceived, right? Be very careful that you are not carried away and sidetracked, because things are going to look like the right thing, but they are not the right thing. And they are going to be so good that if it were possible, the Bible says, even the very elect would be not saved, right? It talks about how the Lord has sh to shorten the time, or else no flesh would be saved, based on how intricate the deception is. And so back to the what's on the screen, as we're talking about how people interpret Revelation. All right, you have in eschatology, how people look at church history and how things unfold. You have persons who take what they call the preterist view. These persons believe and have the outlook that all prophecy in the Bible is real history. So they believe that the Bible is a historical book. It is real history, right? But then they look at it only from that lens. They stop at it and say that the Bible, as how it is written, it's a book that is a historical book. So when they read it, and they read like of the book of Revelation, they are interpreting it like they're looking at something that happened in the past. So all of the things that happened around the time of Jesus, you had the Romans being in charge, right? Because they're the ruling power that was there. And you had some emperors who would come in and they persecuted the church. They mashed down the temple in Jerusalem. They did all of these things, right? What these people believe who take this view is that all of the stuff that we're reading in Revelations is basically symbolic of what took place in those first century happenings. So they are looking at it just from a historical perspective. So you'll have some Christians who, say are intellectual, and they'll say, "Oh yes, man, this Revelation is just describing, in imagery how, the emperor this came and mashed up this and how he persecuted the church and how that other emperor came and so they take a preteristic view, right? Then you have a second set that take a historicist view, right? They also believe that the happenings in the book of Revelation are historical events. These things took place, but they view this stuff that took place and what is written in the book of Revelation as a kind of roadmap of how the church is gonna unfold. So basically, what that means is that they look at the church and say, okay, based on what's in the book of Revelation, we have the early church, and then we have the church that came after that. Then we had the Reformation period, and then we have the Catholic Church, and then we had the different churches breaking off. And they kind of used the book of Revelation as a kind of symbol to tell us what will happen to the church, or what has happened to the church, rather. So they look at it historically and say it's symbolic of how the church has evolved over the ages. So when they are interpreting the symbols or figures in the Bible, they consider them to be metaphors. So they don't see that these things as things that are real, but they're just descriptive and describing and being allegories of things that happened over the centuries to the church. And so this kind of interpretation came about during the Reformation period. That's when the churches were splitting off from the main Roman Catholic Church, right? And you had the different ones. You had the Lutherans, you had the Presbyterians, you had the and they broke off. And so they saw the what was unfolding at that time as the end times, because they thought their thinking was that the Catholic Church was in apostasy and the Pope was the Antichrist, and so they are splitting away to be the true church of the Lord, right? So that's the historicist view. Then you have the futurist view. The futurist view is the view that I personally hold, and many of us would hold that view as well, right? It's the view that most of the prophecies in the book of Revelation are awaiting a future fulfillment and a literal fulfillment, right? So these persons who hold this view, after about Revelation chapter 3, right? Revelation 1 was the intro. 2 and 3 talked about how the Lord Jesus Christ was sending letters to the church at Smyrna, the church of Laodicea, etc., right? So chapter 4 onwards, we see those events as events that will be fulfilled in the future, right? Prophecies that are going to come to pass, right? And so we look at the book of Revelations as what the Lord instructed the Apostle John to do, which is to write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, right? And so a lot of things are happening here. And we are at the time, Daniel, when he was getting his word from the Lord, his prophecies, the Lord said to him, Daniel, seal up these things until the end of the time of the end, right? And we are in that time now when a lot of these things are being opened up. The fourth and final view that I will talk about is the idealistic or the symbolic view. Now, these persons see the book of Revelation as a kind of, we call it an allegory. You know, like when you, there is a story that is unfolding, sort of. It is sort of a big story that is just showing the battle between good and evil, right? It's an ongoing battle, and all of the images and all of the things that are in Revelation are just showing an allegory for the battle between good and evil, right? All of the prophecies that are in there and the symbols are really symbols that you must look at philosophically, and these things are not gonna literally happen, but we must try to find the bigger spiritual truth behind all of what is being said in the book, right? And so when you come across and when you're talking with people and when you hear them discuss, you can have an idea of where they're coming from based on their probably doctrine, what they have been taught, right? I am never the kind of person to say, you know, this church wrong and that church wrong and that church. I find that to be the most lowest of resolution of arguments. But I want for every believer, every true child of God to understand where they are coming from, where that came from, how that evolved, and so you're able to more effectively deal with it when it comes. And so you're also more able to ideally identify any kind of thing that is not biblically sound and based on the word of God, right? And so these are the four main ways persons interpret Revelation. Now, we must understand how did we get here, right? How did we get to this understanding and comprehension, and how did these various viewpoints evolve? Oftentimes, when you can figure out where something come from, you're able to more quickly deal with it. So here is how it started. Everybody, we always start with the early church, and often we have a very idealistic view of the early church, and rightly so, rightly so. But we want to be very understanding that the early church was made up of people just like me and you. The apostles were there, yes, to lead the charge, but everybody had their learning curve. Also, the early church had oppositions, they had false doctrines and false teaching. So there are many things that were happening, right? The early church had people in there complaining about how food a share up, or this person I get more food than that person, right? We must make sure that we understand the full scope of what was happening, and how the Lord brings out his plan, his perfect plan, in spite of imperfect people, right? So we get to understand clearly that, you know, someone like a Moses or a David was just a man like you and I are, human beings. They had faults, they had failures, they had strong points, they had weak points. But I love how the Bible shows us everything. And so the early church had a very, very literal understanding of the book. Let's put it into context and what I meant when I say they had a very literal understanding of the book. The church was birthed at that time. Again, we talked about how the Roman Empire was ruling over them. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ came also in a culture that the leaders of their religious society at that time saw them as a new kind of sect that was coming out, something to be stamped out. So just as how they were antagonistic to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they were very antagonistic to the church. So not only was the foreign government ruling over them, either very apathetic to or very antagonistic to the early church. You also had their local brothers and sisters of their Jewish culture who were also fledging with that as well. Whether they were antagonistic to them, didn't understand them, and various things. And so they had a very pre-millennial view. And those had that is a callback to my last time that I was here. Persons who look at how the scripture is written, those who have a pre-millennial view, talks about how the Lord and Savior will be returning soon. Jesus Christ, our Lord, will be returning. He will take away his elect, right? And then he will rule and reign with them. And we talked about whether, the church will go through the first 3 years of the tribulation or the full tribulation or be taken before the tribulation. We discussed that. But the early church had the view and they were looking forward to the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they took the view very literally. They were looking forward to when Jesus was going to come, vanquish the enemies, vanquish the foes, and set up his rule and reign, and things will go back to the way they were at the beginning. Right? And so they, through persecution and their own passion, they persevered. They spread the gospel. They were living as if God will return at any moment. And it was a very glorious time for the church, even though they were under a very immense weight of pressure. The church blossomed and bloomed and ballooned because of the passion. The Holy Spirit was working in the life of the believers. There were signs and wonders, manifestations. The apostles were there. Persons were going out planting churches, and so it was a glorious time. They had a sense of urgency because they were saying the Lord will return, and I must be a good steward. I must be a faithful servant. He comes back and finds multiplying, right? Over time, though, right? And for those of us who have our calculator, remember we talked about between 90 to 95 AD, the book was written. Over time, what happened is that persecution stopped, it slowed down. And then the faith, the religion, Christianity, as it started to go out and impact the Roman world, the Grecian world, right? The Phoenician world. It started to spread. So they it became a sort of victim of its own success. And I say that with a grain of salt, because it's not to say that the church went wrong somewhere, but I believe that God knew what was going to happen, and in all things he makes a way for his perfect plan and will to unfold. But basically, the Roman Emperor Constantine, in the year 313 AD, he legalized the Christianity. He had a conversion experience, they said, and he legalized the religion of Christianity. And then a few years later, right, 380 AD, Emperor Theodosius the First, he institutionalized Christianity. And so the church and the state lock up like that. And so Christianity became an institution. No more was the early church, there was no more persecution. No, the church was so powerful. The Pope could tell the king, gosso no gosso. The church was in the palace. The church was making moves, and nothing happened without the church, right? And so the view of the mentality of the believers over the course of these centuries started to change, right? So you've moved from where you are persecuted, and you're thinking about Christ's imminent return, and now things sort out, everything nice. Christians are in power. We are ruling and reigning, and we're having the domain. And that sort of experience caused a shift in how Christians started to view the books like the Book of Revelation, and view what the Lord was speaking about. So they started to think of now that it looks like Jesus Christ is actually reigning and ruling now through us. We are now setting up the kingdoms. We are now in the palace. We are now in the legislature. So the literal physical return of Jesus sort of evolved into something more symbolic and spiritual. So that is how the view started to come in now, that maybe what the Lord meant is that he has gone to heaven now, and he's reigning through us. He's ruling through us. And so we are now in the golden age of the church, and pretty soon what we're going to do is we're going to spread Christianity to the entire world. We're going to, send ships in the name of Christianity to the East and to China, and we're gonna take over the world, and let the Indians know, and the savages know, and the black people in Africa know that Jesus Christ. But in all of this crept in a bit of corruption because of the power, right? And so people and the church fathers of that time, they started to evolve the way they thought about. And so that's how you start to kind of see how people left off from the futuristic view and started to adopt the preterist view, or the historicist view, or the idealistic view, right? And so with all these different cultures coming in, you had the Greek philosophers and everybody coming in, and it became one big melting pot, right? And so we see where that. We can understand where the shift took place. And we can timeline it down now to our time, right? We see where again it's like things are coming full circle. In some places, you have the church being under a lot of persecution, while in other places, particularly the Western world, the church has a bit more freedom. But there is in all of this, there's still a spirit at work, right? And so what Christ is calling the church to do is to be very vigilant and be very aware of how the world systems, the world's way of thinking, the Babylon system, which we're going to talk about in a little while, how that will influence and cause the heart and mind of the Christian to be watered down and to be compromised, where we're not really pinning our hope anymore on Christ's imminent return and living our life in such a way that we're preparing for it, but we are kind of either being so distracted working from paycheck to paycheck, or being so distracted looking for our best life now, or how can we, capitalize on all this world that's to offer now. And I preface that by also saying that God is also a God who has his people to prosper and to live light, a sober and fulfilling life, even in times when you're in a dark world around you. So it's not to take the view where you retreat from society fully, and it's not to take the view where you just delve into society 100%, but it's to make sure that you have in your heart and mind, that firm foundation of Jesus Christ, right? So that's how the early church understood the book and how it evolved over time to how people have these different things. And I believe the enemy wanted to have his way, by confusing the church in how to look at his inevitable end, in how to interpret what God is trying to do. But praise be to God, we have gatherings like this where we can discuss and understand what God is saying. So, when we're reading Revelations, there are a few things I want us to bear in mind. It's a very, very lovely book to read. I am a lover of sci-fi and adventure. I love those kind of movies and stuff like that. And when I read the book of Revelation, it's like a movie. And it's just so enthralling and interesting. But because we haven't been taught to how to look at it, it seems very daunting, and you're not able to understand for some people. So with these tenets that I'll be going through now, it will explain how to look at it. And this part reminds me of a movie that I love, where basically, oh gosh, I had the name of the movie and it just slipped me. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about movies, right? But it's like the main character was, you go into a dream. And you can go into somebody else's dream and plant an idea in their mind. And then while you're in that dream, you can go into another dream. And it was just so very, very interesting, right? But this is what we keep in mind when we're reading Revelation. It's not a chronological book, meaning you cannot read it like chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and understand it in a linear fashion, right? The book of Revelation is written I can only describe it like a movie where, an event happens and then you are taken to look at the event from this perspective over here, and then you see another perspective from over here, and then another one from over there. And so what it does is it's spiraling around the same kind of themes, but it describes them from different angles. So you will see things happening in the book of Revelation that, like, the seven bowls being poured out, or the seven blasts of the trumpet, and you'll see them in different parts. It's like, how did I read that in chapter 5 and chapter 6, and then in chapter 8 and 9 it's talking about, and then you're wondering, is it two ends, is it four ends, is it three judgments? No, it's one series of events, but it's not in a linear or chronological order. What God is doing is showing John the what is gonna be happening from different perspectives, right? And those perspectives kind of spiral around each other. So you come back to the same themes, right? So it's not a chronological book. So whereas you'll read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, just bear in mind the understanding that it is not linear, right? It circles around back to the same things. And so you will see certain symbols being repeated. Like I said, you have the candlesticks, you had the sounds of thunder, the seven blasts of the trumpets, the seven bowls. So you will have, look out for the repeated symbols. It's describing the same thing from a different angle. Okay? So what the book is, it's not trying to get us as the Lord's children to predict. It's not like what happens next, this is gonna happen next, and this is gonna happen next. No, it is more letting us be prepared. So it is preparation over prediction, right? So don't be looking at it like this is gonna happen, this is gonna happen, this is gonna happen, because you get lost in the weeds, as they would say. What the Lord is trying to get his church to be is prepared, right? So when you look at it from the various angles, and then you're going to understand the symbolism, I'll go into some of the symbolisms in a little bit, you get to understand what God is trying to prepare us for, what he's trying to make sure we have our minds and our hearts and our spirits ready. Okay? So it's not chronological. That's the first thing. The other thing to keep in mind when you're reading it is that you must read it from an Old Testament lens. I know we're in modern times now, and we tend to look at things so modern. We tend to look at things so microwave, quick, how things are going there. But we must maintain an Old Testament lens when we're reading the book of Revelations. And what you will see is that a lot of the shadows or types of things that happened in the Old Testament are repeated in Revelations and brought into a more higher resolution picture. So the plagues that you see in Revelation, you can mirror that with the plagues of Exodus, right? You will see the beasts that we see in Daniel. You will see the same types and descriptions of the beasts in Revelation. And whereas those previous ones had some fulfillment and we see how it rolled, how it unfolded, you will also see how they relate to the beast in the Revelation portion and how it opens up into a wider understanding. So, it talks about Ezekiel seeing the vision of God's throne. You also have God's throne in Revelations, right? You talk about Eden in Genesis. You also have that garden imagery in the new heaven, new earth, and also in the millennial reign as well. So when you're reading, you must always keep the end in view, right? You're reading the book, knowing that it is working towards the point of the ultimate victory and rule and reign of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? And so all of the things that you're seeing type shadowing are more fully revealed in Revelations, but our tunnel vision should be on our mark, who is Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. All right, so we use the Old Testament lens to understand what is happening in Revelation. The other thing we want to understand in Revelation is that it is a comparison and a contrasting of symbols between the good and the bad, between what looks like it is good and what really is good. And so you will find in the book of Revelation, it talks about the book of life versus the lake of fire, right? So you'll see that in Revelations 20 into 21, right? A sort of contrast of what happens to the children of God versus what happens to the enemy and his emissaries, right? You'll also get a comparison and a contrast between the true witnesses of Jesus Christ versus the false prophets. And again, we're being brilliant at the basics and keeping the end in view. What the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, again, when he talked to us in Matthew chapter 24, is that we must be very careful about deception. And so what the book of Revelation is doing is it's showing us the contrast between what is of God and what is not. So you will see what it also does is it shows you Satan's plan in terms of how he's going to try to deceive the world by mimicking God in such a close way that persons who are not rooted and grounded will be carried away, right? And so you have God's throne versus Satan's throne. And you'll see that in Revelations 4, 2, 22, verse 1, and those different contrasts there. You're going to see the old creation versus the new creation, those who overcome versus those who don't, life versus death, right? The lamb versus the beast, right? And, it's just so interesting how Jesus tells John about this. When he talks about that beast coming, he has the two horns looking like a little lamb. But when he speaks, his voice is the voice of a dragon. And you get to compare and contrast that with the lamb that was on the throne, right? You get to see the bride of Christ. It talks about the bride versus the prostitute. It talks about the holy city of God versus the Babylon, right? It talks about the seal of God versus the mark of the beast, right? Because again, there's a dichotomy that is going to be happening. Just as how we're so, when we think of the end times, we're so focused on, wow, the mark of the beast. But really, we must be excited as well that there is also a seal of God, a mark of God. And Revelations literally talks about God putting his mark on his people's foreheads, right? And so you have Satan bringing off a false to what God's genuine is. And so we must be very, very cognizant and keeping those things in mind about the contrasting true worship versus false worship, right? You have the pure woman in Revelation, representative of the church, versus the corrupt woman, right? Representative of the world system, the Babylonian system, right? So many comparisons and contrasts here. And I'm gonna go into one contrast in a lot more detail, right? Especially around these two subjects here, the seal of God versus the mark of the beast, true worship versus false worship, right? And so the last part I want to look at is the unholy Trinity, right? And this is Satan's tactic from the beginning. We've always heard that the enemy doesn't use any new tricks. It is so true. The because I guess we're not, I don't know, we're not wise to, but it is so effective that he does not need to employ any new strategy in how he deceives the world. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ gives us the tools through his word, through his indwelling Holy Spirit, and through the company of the believers to help us to navigate around these things. So what Satan does from the beginning is he takes what God has and imitates it, counterfeits it, or corrupts it, causing some kind of perversion, right? And one of the things that is at the heart of Satan is this self, the worship of self, the self-centeredness of things. How do instead of having God be God to worship God, how do I put myself in the place of God? How do I make myself the center of my own universe, right? And in order to do that, he pulls off some very cunning counterfeit, tree card trick man thing. So what he does is he, in the end times, you will see the physical manifestation of what is actually active in the world now, in terms of a spiritual nature. What do I mean? We talk about the beast, we talk about the Antichrist, and we talk about the false prophet. From the time of Jesus Christ, he warned them about many false prophets, false messiahs, right? And in a very real sense, the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of the falsehood has been perpetuating over the centuries. But now, when it comes to the end times, these persons will take on a physical manifestation. So there is going to be somebody who is the Antichrist, somebody who is that beast, somebody who Satan himself who will be setting up himself through his false prophet, the beast, the Antichrist. So and he does it in that way because it will mimic the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? And we're gonna look at how he does that in end times and what we can look out for. So while the Holy Trinity is characterized by infinite truth, love, and goodness, the unholy Trinity portrays the diametrical opposite traits of deception, hatred, and unadulterated evil. But the trick about these things is that because of the deception, it appears as if it is truth, love, and goodness when it really isn't. And so here is how it will work. Satan the dragon, he will mimic God the Father. He will have that send that setup of authority and power, right? And what he will do is he will give his throne to the Antichrist. So when you read the book of Revelations, it talks about this, how the dragon will give his authority and power and throne to the Antichrist. What that does, it is mimicking how God the Father gave all authority and power to Jesus Christ, right? And how that relationship, you can see how that relationship is being mimicked, right? And so just as how Jesus, when he was on earth, he did nothing, he said nothing, except it was his Father who authorized him to do it, authorized him to say it. It's just so, I don't want to go off in a tangent, but it's just so impressive how Jesus Christ's will was 100% given over to his Father, Jehovah God Almighty. And our aim as Christian is to have our will just the same, 100% sold out to Jesus Christ and God the Father, right? But Satan does the same thing in when we look at how he moves in Revelation. So just as how the Father authorized the Son, it's the same way the dragon will be authorizing the Antichrist. So that human being is going to be able to perform all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders, just like how Jesus Christ would have performed the miracles, signs, and wonders to be an outward show to the world, right? That of his coming from the Father and the Father being in him, right? You will also see how the Holy Spirit is being mimicked by this false unholy Trinity in how the Revelation talks about how the image of the beast, life was given to the image of the beast from the beast. Just like how life is given to us human beings by God breathing his breath into us. Job described it, and that song by Dustin Oyekan came from Job when he said, with your breath of life, That's how I come alive. That's how I change my world. I just love to when I hear songs and then I can find where in the Bible those songs come from. It's just so interesting, right? I just love things like that. But anyway, so just like how the breath of God gave life to a man that was made in the image of God, and man became a living soul. You'll also see the beast mimicking that by giving life to the image of the beast, that that beast is able to walk and talk and exercise all the powers and authorities, right, of the dragon and the beast that brought him forth, right? So you will see how this Antichrist mimics Jesus Christ. It talks about how that beast got a fatal wound and how that wound was healed. And because of how the world sees that, they would be giving worship to the beast and legitimizing him, because how can someone be resurrected unless he is God, right? So what will happen is that this deception is going to cause people to worship the beast, right? And just like how the Holy Spirit brings us to worship, that is how that image of the beast will cause people to worship the false Christ and cause them to worship the false father figure, which would be Satan, the dragon, right? And so this beast will be the false prophet, the second beast, mimicking the Holy Spirit. He'll be able to perform signs and wonders, calling down fire from heaven, and this will compel people to worship the Antichrist. So just like how the Spirit's movement causes people to worship God and brings people to God, this false prophet will be causing people to worship the beast and bringing them into that system, right? I talked about the fatal wound already, and I'm looking at the time. I'm mindful of time. I have to be mindful of time. We're looking at the mark of the beast here, just like how the false prophet is gonna mark his followers with the sign, the mark of the beast, 666. And many people are confused about that, but John was confused as well, and he asked, "What does this mean?" And the Lord would sometimes preemptively answer John by telling him what these things mean. Again, the mark of the beast, 666, the number of man, right? The number of man being six, right? Again, it is all about putting yourself at the center, right? Mankind putting himself in place of God. So even today, when you have people who are a part of the Satanist church, they will tell you that really what their religion is about putting the creature in place of the creator. Man, my will be done instead of thy will, O God, be done, right? And so we must look out for this mindset. Many people are looking at it again. It's a call back to how it's the book is interpreted, whether you're interpreting it from a symbolic view or a literal view. What God wants his people to do is be prepared. So many people are probably going to be looking at, and they're going to be like, you see, if anybody come to me and say, if I put a chip in on my hand, or if I put nothing in on my head, me not gonna do it, because me not take the mark of the beast. However, that same person might be less aware of how the world system is causing their minds to be warped, causing their belief system and causing the work of their hands to be carried away into doing things according to what is in line with the ways of the world and the ways of sin and the ways of how the enemy's system is, rather than with the kingdom of God's system. So, yes, we must be mindful of the physical signs, but more deeply, we must be mindful of our heart and mind condition, because Jesus will have a mark, right? The false prophet will mark his people, and so also the Holy Spirit will be marking and sealing his people. And I'm sure if we ask any random Christian out there, do you believe that the Holy Spirit or when Jesus talks about his mark being on his people, do you believe that there's going to be some physical mark on them? Most Christians will probably tell you no. It is something that happens in the heart, in the mind, in their spirit. So again, we don't want to be deceived in either spectrum of the argument, right? And so again, it talks about the signs and wonders that the false prophet will be able to perform. I mean, this person is going to be able to do things that will make people say, wow, right? Just like how Jesus would have done things. So, this person may be able to appear and disappear in places, like how the disciples were in the room and Jesus just appeared in there to them, or walk on water. Or, there may be some famine happening, and this person is able to, multiply and cause things to happen. The whole world will say, wow, this man, I'm a god, right? Because of how things will be. And there are many things flying out around there. I want to close by saying this. There are many things happening out there. Jesus talked about the wars and the rumors of wars. In Matthew 24, he talked about the false messiahs, and if you hear someone saying, there is Christ, don't go. Because he wanted us as his people to be very aware, right? To be very aware of what is happening. You are going to hear a lot of things happening. Church, you're gonna be hearing about UFOs. People are gonna be talking about UFOs. They're gonna be talking about aliens. You're gonna be hearing of wars. You're gonna be hearing, and there are gonna be many things happening that will warrant us to look at and say, is this what will be happening? Am I to be looking for the Antichrist here or there? And as a vigilant and aware child of God, we must look at all these things, but we must also ensure that we are brilliant at the basics. Our core is intact. So we are not carried away or over fascinated by the news of woe, because one of the things that the enemy will try to bring is fear, to say, oh, this is gonna happen, that's gonna happen, man. That is not how God wants his people to operate. That's why he tells us beforehand what to expect. When you see these things happening, it's going to be an opportunity for joy, but it's also going to be an opportunity for us to know his time is coming when he will appear. Things are going to be happening, but he said to us, the end is not yet, right? So it's almost like birth pains of things that are to come, right? So birth pains and beginning, right? So when we see these things, we must be assured of, yes, God is coming soon. Yes, he told us these things would happen. But it's a call not to be looking for, the various signs. As I alluded to before, let me just find back what I said. It's not about prediction, right? But it's about preparation. It's about readiness. God wants his church to be ready and prepared for him, watching and waiting, right? And so when we read the book of Revelation, it gives us that final wrap up of what will happen, of what God has in store. It's, yes, at the beginning it starts out, and in the middle there's a whole lot of, many people say, doom and gloom and woe, but it's all a part of God's plan of how he will wrap up and bring us to his inevitable victory. And I like how the book of Revelation ends, right? I just want to end by reading the ending part of Revelation, right? It talks about, I will start here. It says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." I just love how it ends. This is Jesus talking. Yeah? So it's just so amazing. "I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star," right? "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So, it is just a wonderful book. We will be vindicated in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the end, God wins. In the end, Jesus Christ reigns. In the end, what was made a curse, what had gone wrong, will be made right. And so the end times is not a time of, doom and gloom and woe. It's a time for believers to be watchful, prepared, ready, sober, and vigilant against all of the things that would want to distract you and deceive you away from what is the real thing. Amen. And so I want to thank you all for having me another time. And I just want to wish you all the best. And I just want to close in a short prayer. I'm watching the time. I know I talk long sometimes. But Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the God of revelation. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. This book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is your personal, final word written to your churches. And through it all, God, you are showing us that we should fear not, that we should be sober, we should be vigilant. You are showing us the comparison and the contrast of what the enemy has to offer versus what is really the true things of the living God. And so, Lord, I pray that as we as believers are in that end times, and as the signs are beginning to unfold, we will not approach this time with trepidation and woe, but we will be approaching it with vigilance. We will approach it in power, in love, and in a sound mind, even as we see the day approaching, to encourage one another and build up each other on our most holy faith. And so, Lord, just as the book says, everyone who reads this book aloud, everywhere that this book is shared, let your blessing flow, let your conviction flow, and through it all, let there be a harvest, an end time harvest, that people will come into the kingdom of God. People will be sealed by the Spirit of God and not be sealed and distracted by the false dichotomy the enemy has to offer. And so, Lord God, we present ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, as persons and people who are ready and willing and looking forward to your awesome return, as persons whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, that we will be the hearers and those who will be transformed at the last trump. Mighty God, the last trumpet. Yes, Lord, seal us your people
Hallelujah.
in a perilous time
Hallelujah.
where people will be barely scraping through, that if it were possible, the elect would be deceived. But thank you, Lord God, that through your Holy Spirit, through your word, O God Almighty, we will be saved. And
Hallelujah.
save those around us. Save even as we go out and preach and teach your word. Let men be saved, Almighty God. And so we can all come together in that new Jerusalem, that new heaven and new earth. And so shall we be forever with the Lord. We thank you, God, and we worship you in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Bless the name of Jesus.
God bless
Amen.
you. God
Amen,
bless you
Lord.
all.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the wonderful name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to the name,
Bless the
Lord.
Lord, people of God. Praise God.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can we shout hallelujah on the platform tonight?
Hallelujah.
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 Praise Thank you,
God. What a
Jesus.
time in the
Amen.
presence of the Lord. Amen. I have written down so much. I've learned. How about you tonight? Have you learned?
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
My
Praise
God, you
the
know, I
Lord.
always hear persons would
Thank
say,
you, Jesus.
Brother Adrian, I would hear people say, you know, the enemy has no new tricks. It's something that I always hear, you know, the enemy has no new tricks. And I would, from time to time, see how he tries to mimic, you know, what God would have done. But tonight is like a scale was removed because it came across with so much clarity. And I was able to see how many comparisons there are. I took the picture of them because I didn't think I would get a chance to write them down fast enough, you know? And so I am intending to go deeper, hallelujah, tonight after this presentation. I feel like the last time when we met, I said I was charged to read Revelations. And now I feel like I have a guide, you know, as I go into the book to know what to expect and to have a clearer understanding so I'm not confused. Amen. And so I just want to bless the Lord for tonight and bless the Lord for you, man of God, you know, for coming and for edifying us, the body of Christ, with the wisdom that the Lord would have deposited within you. And so we honor God that you are available and you came and you shared, you know, so ably and with such clarity tonight in Jesus' name. And you know, I wrote down a lot, but I just want to highlight just a few of the things that really stood out, you know, even from the time before. And you know, over the years, Brother Adrian's slogan has always been be brilliant at the basics, you know, and it came across the last time and came across tonight. And for those of us who don't remember or weren't here, so you don't know what that means, he was pretty much saying that, you know, the basic things that are relevant for us having a relationship with the Lord is what we should focus on. Basic things like praying, like reading the Word of God, like applying it to our lives, you know, just simple things, living a consecrated life. Those are basic requirements for being a child of God. And that's where our focus should be. Amen. And if we focus on those things, the things that the Word of God, as we grow in becoming brilliant at those little basic things, the Word of God will have more meaning to us, will bring more clarity to us, you know, and we'll be able to look at it from a futuristic view or all the other views that were mentioned. It will have more meaning to us. But first, our first assignment is to say, Lord, help me to be brilliant at these basic things. When you are brilliant at something, you have mastered it, you're outstanding at it. And so our aim is to ask the Holy Spirit, because we cannot do it without Him, to help us to become brilliant at doing what is required of us from the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Being brilliant at just walking in obedience to God's word. He talked about, you know, us not being deceived, and he would have shared the different things and how the enemy tries to counteract or to bring a counterfeit of what the Lord would have established. And he said, you know, in Matthew 24, verse 5, it reminds us to be careful that we're not deceived, which means it's going to look so close to the actual thing. We need the Spirit of God within us to help us to discern, hallelujah, what is different, what makes it off. And I would have said the last time, in order to discern accurately, we need to know what the Word of God says. So that when we see it, we say, no, this is not what the Word of God says. Amen. And so that requires us spending time in the Word of Almighty God. He shared that the book of Revelation is not chronological. It's like a spiral description of different perspectives of the same themes. I thought that was interesting. Amen. Praise God. A lot of comparisons were there. I learned about the unholy Trinity. I didn't know about it before. But tonight, praise God, I'm edified. Praise God. And I'm going to look deeper into this. And it just shows us as believers how much we have to go into the word, because the enemy knows the word and knows how to use it against us. And if we don't know it for ourselves, we will be deceived. Amen. And so it's time for us to go in the word, aiming to becoming brilliant at the basics. One of the things that stood out most of all, he spoke about, I think I wrote it down, the condition. He said, being mindful of the condition of your heart. He talks about how the mark of the beast, you know, is a perverse imitation, sealing believers with the sealing that sealed believers, and it's going to usher you into worshiping the Antichrist. And so we have to be mindful of the condition of our heart so that we're not trapped in that, you know? We're not pulled into it because that is what the mark of the beast, I think it is the mark of the beast. I don't know if I got it right, that will usher us into worshiping the Antichrist. And so, if we are not mindful, if we are not aware of what the Lord is saying to us, what the requirements are, we are going to be tricked. And so I'm declaring tonight that we will not be tricked in the name of Jesus Christ. So our assignment as we leave tonight is to go deeper in the word. The more we read it, the more the Lord will give us the understanding that we need, that we will be able to dig deeper into the word and to live a life that is transformed by the word. Nobody can spend time in the word of God and remain the same. It is impossible. The word of God is quick and sharp and powerful, and it brings transformation. We're looking to live transformed lives. We're looking to live consecrated lives. The word of God is the place that we will start in Jesus' name. So we borrow your mantra, Brother Adrian, as a ministry at Prayer Portal, and we aim and we yearn and we desire to be brilliant at the basic requirements in order to serve the Lord God Almighty in spirit and in truth. So God bless you, man of God. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for edifying us, you know, and for starting a fire within us that we know it's not quenchable. We will have to go and feast some more in order that we may be satisfied. There's a hunger that is birthed within us. I can speak for myself, and I know I can speak on behalf of the ministry. So God bless you. May He continue to use you. May He cover you and continue to pour into you His divine wisdom that you will continue to, grow from strength to strength in the ministry of Almighty God. We're going to pray tonight for the man of God, and I'm going to ask you. I know we prayed collectively already, but I feel led that we should do it again. You know how this word came and how it impacted your life. Amen. And so I'm going to invite each of us who are able to just unmute and just pray, for the man of God as you are led. Pray as how you were inspired or how the word spoke to you. Hallelujah. Put him before the Lord in that regard, in the name of Jesus. Let us all go into prayer at this time in Jesus' name. Father God, we honor you
Hallelujah.
tonight. We
Hallelujah,
lift up our
Jesus.
holy hands to you, Lord God
Yes,
Almighty, one
Jesus,
more time,
grateful
thanking you,
Father.
Lord Jesus Christ, for your presence and for your lordship. As we come, Lord God, gathered tonight, we thank you that
God
you
for
were
this
with us. We
opportunity.
thank you that your presence has
Lord,
been
we
here.
can be
And Lord God
connected
Almighty, you,
in this
Lord God
way,
Almighty, have
Father,
led us
on
into
your
a time
word
of
to
eating
continue
and
to answer the
feasting
needs of
on your
technology.
word. We pray
Yes, oh
tonight in
God,
the
your
name of
word is
Jesus
limitless and
for your
boundless. Cover your
manservant,
mysterious
whom you have
heart in your
equipped
word,
so
Almighty
ably,
God.
whom you
Nothing
have
that is
deposited
harnessed
within
can
him,
bring
oh
but
God
zeal
Almighty,
to the
for
cross.
tonight
Thank
a
you,
second time
Almighty
to
God. I
finish,
thank
oh
you
God,
and
the
I praise
presentation
you for
that
your
he would have started a few weeks
availability.
ago.
Lord,
As I
you, Lord,
present him to
as
you
he
right
lays
now, I
down,
pray
as he
that you will
dips
rest
here,
upon him
Almighty God, I
your
pray
righteous
that you
right
will
hand in the name
replenish
of
Adrian
Jesus
Granville
Christ.
in the
I
name
pray
of
that you will
Jesus. Let us, I
clothe
pray
him
for a double
right now
portion of
with your fire
anointing
tonight,
upon his
Almighty
life,
God,
Lord,
in
that
the
he
name of
reach for
Jesus
you and
Christ.
bring
I pray, Lord
deliverance
God Almighty,
again and
that your
again. I
hand
pray,
of
God, that you will
protection will
thank
be
you, God
upon
Almighty,
him,
for your
will
in
be
his
upon his
body.
family,
Thank
oh
you,
God Almighty,
Almighty
his
God, for
wife, his
remove every
children,
trouble,
mighty
every
God, his
plan upon
mother,
this and
oh God,
from
his
his life
siblings, everyone
as you
attached
would
to him, oh God, will
deliver tonight.
experience a
I pray,
divine
Mighty God, for
covering
newness
tonight
in
from
his
your
family,
blood in
even
the
now,
name
over
of
his
Jesus
generation.
Christ.
Lord,
I pray, Lord
Mighty God,
God
over
Almighty,
everything
that you
that
will cover his
concerns
job,
him,
cover his
over his
vehicle,
job.
everyone
Mighty
and
God, I
everything
pray for his going
associated
forth and his
with your
coming
son
in,
will
that his
experience,
steps will
oh
be
God Almighty, the
ordered
hand of
in
God
your
in their
word,
lives
Mighty
in the
God. I
name
pray,
of
God, for a
Jesus
divine
Christ. I pray,
walk
Lord God
over
Almighty,
him.
that you will
I pray,
plant
Mighty
an earth
God, that you
within
will
him
walk
and
with him,
newness,
talk with
peace
him,
and
a long life,
mighty God, an
learning,
earth
Mighty
Lord, God,
you
are,
thank
God,
you,
Lord, that you will
Jesus'
hold his
abilities
hand
and
leave
that he didn't know existed.
Yes, mighty God, I pray
that
you will spread a table
before
him,
even
the presence of his enemies, mighty God. I pray, God, that you will feast on the food of the Lamb, because your word said that if you be willing and obedient, you will feast of the food of the land. I pray, mighty God, that
you
will sustain him.
Lord,
I pray, God, that you will build him a cave, even now, mighty God,
that you
will sustain him even for 40 days and 40 nights, and
with
Elijah, mighty God. I pray, God, that you will enlarge his territory and cause him, mighty God, to walk in the precepts
of
his life, that he will see the newness, oh God, the new mercies that you would give him. Mighty God, I pray, God, that those who come
in the name of
with him will
experience
a blessing from him, and whatever it touches mighty God, that his root will be seen in the name of Jesus, and he will bear fruit in due season. Yes, mighty God, I pray that we'll add an extra season to his life. Yes, Lord God, instead of summer, autumn, and winter, that he will have a due season. Yes, mighty God, that he will bring forth prosperity upon your servant in the name of Jesus. And thank you, mighty God, that you have availed himself to you, Lord God. And I pray even now, oh God, that as you leave from this platform, yes, mighty God, there will be a lingering of your blessing that you will overtake him. And him into higher height and deeper depth
and
you, mighty God.
And then be God, but a word, God Almighty,
mighty God,
in their hearts
is your faithfulness.
A transformation,
you are, mighty God,
in their own lives,
as
you, Jesus,
and be thus glorified in your servant's life. And I pray your thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Yes, mighty God. Hallelujah.
Mighty God, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As his
word is the Lamb of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, my God.
Here I am, Lord. Send me. Give him a fresh anointing. Yesterday's anointing is not enough. Newness of the anointing of God in Jesus' name. Fresh oil upon his head that it may run down his beard like Aaron's beard in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do with him what you will, Lord. Take him and nurture him and fashion him and mold him into your likeness, that the light of God will be continuously reflected through your manservant in the name of Jesus Christ. Mighty God, he's an example of what it means to be humble. I pray, God Almighty, that you will continue to use him to inspire your people, Lord God, to be closer drawn to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Be his shield, oh God Almighty. Be his defense. Be a fortified wall of protection around him. He shall face no reprisal or backlash because of how you used him tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. But angels with drawn sword right now are released on behalf of Adrian Granville in the name of Jesus Christ. And they're fighting on his behalf in Jesus' name. Lift him up in the spirit, oh God. Elevate him to a new realm, a new dimension, newness in his operations in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Continue to enfold him, oh God Almighty, and to use him, oh God, that you may be glorified always in the name of Jesus. Bless his family, bless his marriage, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus. Seal it with the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, seal it with the seal of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and continue to help them to grow, oh God Almighty, in love with each other as they grow in love with you. Thank you, God Almighty, for hearing and answering our prayers tonight. As we look to you tonight, we tell you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for each participant on the platform, God. And as we're getting ready to go with us, mighty God, hallelujah. breathe upon us, breath of the living God, that we may take your presence with us, oh God, and nurture that presence, and entertain that presence, and host that presence, oh God Almighty, within us, like the Ark of the Covenant, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray, God Almighty, hallelujah, that we will leave all our baggages right here on the altar and walk into our spaces as we leave with a spirit of worship, a spirit of praise, a liberated spirit where we are free to exalt the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If any among us is sick, thank you for being our healer. Thank you for touching. Thank you for delivering and setting free, oh God Almighty, from sickness. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thank you for teaching us how to apply this word tonight to our hearts, to our lives, that you may be glorified above everything else. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we look to you and tell you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all agree tonight and say amen.
Amen.
Bless the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Bless the name of Jesus. I like the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Amen. The songman says, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Hallelujah. And so tonight we bless the Lord, hallelujah, for a wonderful time in his presence, a time where we're edified by his word. And as we get ready to go, I have a few announcements that I want to just share with you very quickly. And then we will have our benediction in Jesus' name. So from the announcement desk, I want to join with Elder in welcoming each of you who are on the platform tonight, whether this is your first time or you are a regular attendee. We are grateful that you chose to join us, amen, here at Prayer Portal. And so I want to acknowledge, I think I saw Minister Faithlyn Granville on the platform with us tonight. We want to welcome you, woman of God, and it's good to have you worshiping with us one more time. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Bless the Lord. I want to use this opportunity also to invite you back out this Saturday at 8 p.m. using the same credentials as we partner with Faith Defender Bible Study Group, who will host our Bible study on Saturday at 8 p.m. using the same link, the same platform, under the leadership of Deacon Everton Scott, and some other members in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to invite you to come on out and join us. And I think we're looking at the book of Romans. So I encourage you to go ahead and to read Romans chapter 1 in preparation for the study that will come, so that you know, as the presenter shares, you can flow as well. Amen. Bless the Lord. Praise God. Elder, you have something to share?
I just want to bless the Lord and also to join with you to thank Brother Adrian. You know, I have been blessed. I was not given the opportunity to be live on the last time that he was here, but I bless the Lord for our website, because Brother Adrian, I went on and I was blessed tremendously. So I just want to bless the Lord and to thank him. And I just want to bless the Lord for each and every one of us who is here with us tonight. God bless you all.
Bless the Lord. And as Ella would have mentioned, if you need to go back and re-listen to tonight's teaching, it will be available on our website. You know, it's www.priorportaltoheaven.com. You just type it in the search bar and it will pop up. And if you're having challenges, we'll have the link available to those of you who may need it. Hallelujah. That you may go on and refresh your memories, or, you know, get something that you didn't hear before. Amen. And so that is available for you. Praise God. I invite you out next Thursday right here on this platform. If you are a Jamaican, or if you're in the central time zone, then We will meet at 7 p.m. your time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. So just note that change in time, in lieu of our daylight saving time. That's why we are 7 o'clock Jamaica time now. Amen. So tell your neighbors, tell your friends. But next week when you come on, we will have our Meet the Legend Hall of Fame, where we're going to be meeting biblical legends. You didn't hear about it? Yes, man. So here's what you're going to do now, and you should have been doing. But if you haven't done it yet, it's not late. You're going to choose a Bible character, anyone of your liking. You're going to read everything about that character. And then next week when you join us, you are going to be sharing on that character in the most creative way that you can think of. If you want to do a song, you can sing. Amen. If you want to do a dance, I don't know how you would incorporate it, but if you want to do it, then we welcome it. If you want to do a drama piece or a poem or a story time or whatever else you come up with, amen. We invite you to come on out, be on time, join us early. We have surprises for next week, but I won't tell you until you join. Amen. So come out, let's be on time, and let's come prepared to share. Last time we were able to see many different talents, and I'm hoping that we will be able to see the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit one more time on this platform. Amen. So go
Amen.
read, prepared, and get ready to share. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And tell your friends. All right. In Jesus' name. God bless you, people of God. And as we get ready to go, thank you so much again, Brother Adrian. Thank you to each of you who have joined us tonight. God bless you. And as you go, I just invite you to greet somebody as you leave. I see Sister Cicely in Granville. Good to have you, Mother Granville. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Praise God. I also saw Sister Dawn. God bless you. I saw Sister Donna earlier. Good to have you with us. God bless you. Sister Navlet. God bless you, Sister Navlet. It's good to have you worshiping with us. God bless you. Amen. Greet somebody as you go tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the
Bless you,
Lord,
Sister
Sister
Nikki.
Lamb.
God bless
Bless
you. Amen. Sister
the Lord. Sister
Sister
Hutchinson.
K.
Bless the Lord, Sister
Bless
Colette.
the
Lord.
Amen. Sister Camille.
Brother
Sister
Adrian,
Ada
God bless you. Bless you,
Edwards.
Sister
Bless the Lord,
Adrian.
Sister
Night.
Sister
Bless
Bright.
you,
Bless
Sister
the Heart, Brother Glanville. God bless the man of
God
God.
bless you.
Bless
Bless
the
you, Bless
man of
his light shine upon your
Kenisha.
roof.
God bless
Sister
you.
Bless the Lord.
Kenisha, Sister
Sister
Pamela, bless
Morrison.
you.
Bless God,
God
Sister
bless you.
Kenisha. Sister
Lamb, praise
Pamela.
God.
Amen.
God
Sister
bless you,
Caitlin
Karima. Good
Granville.
night,
everyone.
Good
Amen.
night,
Praise
Sister
God.
Amen.
Bless
Bless the
Kenisha.
Lord.
Sister
Bless the
Colette.
Lord,
Bless
Sister
Sister
Key,
Colette.
Yes,
Sister
God
Nikki.
bless you. God
Bless
bless. God
God.
bless you, Sister
Amen.
Granville.